Saturday Night Theatre. The play you're about to hear was produced by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in their studios in Toronto. It's also being broadcast for the first time today across Canada.
La Svengali, a play for radio by Alden Nolan and Walter Learning, from the novel Trilby by George Du Maurier. With John Colicos as Svengali, Elaine Crossley as Trilby, and Saul Rubinek as Gecko. Paris, the middle of the last century.
Mon Dieu, Svengali, it's cold.
Don't whine, Gecko. Smile. Merci, monsieur. Joyeux Noël.
Oh, my fingers are so stiff, it hurts me to play.
If you were a great violinist, Gecko, your fingers would always hurt. Merci, monsieur. Joyeux Noël.
Ah, they're generous tonight, maestro.
Generous, sanctimonious pigs. They believe they can buy their way into heaven for one-tenth the price of a bowl of cheap soup.
How much do we have now?
A cheer. Not enough to buy us our Christmas meal tomorrow. These Parisians. But you're right, Gecko. It is cold and it is late. Let us seek warmth and food.
But where shall we go, maestro? There is nowhere for us.
My dear Gecko, in the bright lexicon of youth, there is no such word as failure. Those three Englishmen, the ones who play at being artists in the Latin Quarter, their fire is always lit. They're free with their wine and food.
Yes, but how shall I say? You know, we are not always welcome there, Svengali.
Yes, they despise me, laugh at me, call me a dirty Jew behind my back. But when I play for them, they will welcome us, Gecko.
Yes, and I will play too, maestro?
Yes, you are a good pupil, Gecko. They will want you to play too.
We will sing for our supper.
Sing?
Play. We will play for our supper.
Yes, we will play for our supper. And tonight, she is almost certain to be there.
My friends, a toast to our youth, to our art, to our health, our hope, our freedom, to our friendship.
Right, our friendship.
Our friendship.
We're indeed fortunate to be young, to be in Paris. A long, long in the future, when we're 40, say. we will look back on this time.
Being then rich and famous artists.
As you so rightly say, little Billy, as rich and famous artists, we will regale our friends with tales of our misspent youth, of our nights on the town.
Of our days and our easels.
Of the studio that has seen so much happiness and hard work.
Of our loves. Love.
Little Billy. Forever the idealist. Trilby will be here soon.
Oh, now, which of our friends has decided to call on us this Christmas Eve? Oh.
Well, who is it?
It's Svengali and Gekko.
Good evening, my friend.
Hello, hello.
Well, don't stand there like a great lump of haggis. Invite them in.
Perhaps we are intruding?
No. You're welcome.
Ah, it is good to see a warm fire on such a night.
Well, warm yourselves by it. You both look frozen.
Yes, it is a cold night.
Would you like a glass of warm wine?
Aha, yes, thank you.
Oh, that would be most welcome.
Don't look so glum, Taffy. It's Christmas Eve. We can afford to be kind to the poor fellows. Christmas Eve doesn't mean anything to the likes of Svengali. I know he's a Jew, and a blackguardly Jew at that, but it does no harm to show a little human kindness, even to blackguardly Jews on Christmas Eve. It's his eyes. That strange way you can look at a fellow.
I know. And his greasy hair, and his dirty nails. But when he plays the piano, I'll ask him to play for us later.
Your drinks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
To your very good health, gentlemen all.
And to yours, Svengali, Gekko.
To your health.
To your health.
Judging from your easels, all three of you have been hard at work.
Well, not as much as perhaps we should.
Milk below!
Trilby!
At last, Gekko.
Yes, maestro.
We are about to meet the lady we have so often observed from afar.
What does it mean, this milk below?
It is what the milkmaids cry in England, her way of amusing these Englishmen.
Oh, I see.
Trilby, we expected you long ago.
Oh, Genoa isn't feeling well.
He's probably just overexcited about the imminent arrival of Christmas.
I expect you're right, Taffy. Oh.
I'm sorry. Svengali? Gekko, may I present Miss Trilby O'Farrell?
Your servant, mademoiselle.
Mademoiselle, hello.
Have I not seen you before, watching me in the park?
Oh, I assure you, mademoiselle.
I don't mind. Have you a glass of wine for me, little Billy?
Oh, yes, of course, my dear.
However, it is true, mademoiselle.
Oh, call me Trilby, please. Everyone does.
It is true, Trilby, that I have often watched you in the park playing with your little boy.
Oh, Jeannot's not my child. He's my little brother.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, it's just that when people get the wrong impression about Jeannot, they sometimes get the wrong impression about other things as well.
Why don't you play something for us, Svengali?
A capital idea, lad. Come, Svengali, to the piano.
As you wish.
You like music, mademoiselle?
I love it, Gekko.
Perhaps you are a musician yourself, mademoiselle.
Oh, no. But my father used to sing.
Oh, professionally?
Oh, no. But when he was into the rum, he'd sing Sweet Alice Ben Bolt so that people cried.
Oh, and do you know the song yourself?
It's the only song I know.
Ah, perhaps then you will sing it for us.
If little Billy will let me, he thinks I can't carry a tune.
Oh, Trilby, I've never said that.
That is what you think. And Taffy and the Laird agree with you, don't you, Laird?
Trilby O'Farrell, you're as beautiful as Kathleen, the daughter of Houlihan, but you must face the fact. You're tone deaf.
And what about you, Taffy? Be honest now.
Well,
why don't we find out for ourselves, if you will honor us, mademoiselle? I shall be your accompanist.
Oh, that would be marvelous, Svengali.
A wonderful maestro.
Seeing Trilby standing there beside Svengali is a bit like seeing Beauty and the Beast come to life, you Taffy.
It reminds me more of Eve and the Serpent. Brace yourself, lad. The lady's about to begin.
I'm going to put a stop to this, Taffy.
You're going to do nothing of the kind. Not unless you're prepared to give up any hope you ever had of marrying her.
But it's so embarrassing.
Isn't it better for you to be embarrassed by her singing than for you to embarrass her by forcing her to stop?
Oh, you're right, of course.
Just be grateful that she only knows one song.
Brava, brava. Come on, mademoiselle.
Thank you, Keiko. Thank you, everyone.
Mademoiselle, I ask that you grant me one small favor.
Of course.
And what small favor is that?
Mademoiselle, will you permit me to look inside your mouth?
Inside my mouth? Whatever for?
Please.
Very well. Ah.
A little wider, please.
Oh, Signor Svengali, you sound exactly like a dentist.
Please, a little wider still.
Ah.
Thank you. You may close your mouth now.
And what have you discovered inside my mouth, Signor?
The roof of your mouth is like the dome of the Pantheon. There is room in it for all the glories of France and a little to spare. The entrance to your throat is like the middle porch of Saint-Sulpice when the doors are open for the faithful on All Saints' Day. And not one tooth is missing. 32 British teeth, as white as milk and as big as knuckle bones. And your little tongue is scooped out like the leaf of a pink peony. The bridge of your nose is like the belly of a Stradivarius. What a sounding board. And inside your beautiful big chest, the lungs are made of leather. In short, mademoiselle, it is as I suspected. You possess a talent that is quite exceptional.
Do you really think so?
I do not make jokes about music, mademoiselle. I am telling you the simple truth. Mind you, it is also true that your voice would benefit from some training.
Do you mean that you'd be willing to teach me?
That is quite possible.
Oh, you are honored, mademoiselle. Signor Svengali is the greatest artist I have ever met. He found me playing in the street. He took me by the hand. He was my only friend, and he taught me all I know about the violin. And yet, he cannot play the instrument himself.
Did you hear that, little Billy?
I heard it. Svengali, you've carried this joke of yours quite far enough.
I have already said that I do not make jokes about music. It has always been my wish to be a singer.
You? A singer?
Yes, it is amusing, is it not? Huh? The crow dreaming of turning into a lark. Nature has been harsh to me in this respect. I croak like a raven. I cannot sing with my voice. Yet I do sing inside my head. Inside my head is the music of the spheres. Inside my head I am forever singing. Singing as probably no human nightingale has ever yet been able to sing for the delight of his fellow mortals. And this is why I have grown to understand the human voice as perhaps no one has understood it before. And why I am perhaps the best teacher of music in the world.
Listen, the church bells. It's midnight, Christmas Day. Open the shutters, Taffy.
Very well.
Merry Christmas, Paris. Merry Christmas.
Oh, I couldn't possibly swallow another morsel. Well, Trilby, my dear, you've excelled yourself.
Yes,
I swear that was the best Christmas dinner I've ever eaten.
Oh, I'll second that, Taffy.
Yeah.
Well, it's little Billy's mother who deserves the credit. Most of the food came in a hamper from England. Would anyone care for more?
Oh.
What about you, Gecko? Some more turkey? Ham? Sausage?
Yeah, mademoiselle, if I took just one more bite, I would burst.
Signor Svengali.
Oh, thank you, no. You are most kind, all of you, to permit Gecko and me to partake of your feast.
Yes, thank you.
And now, if you would like, Gecko and I would be delighted to play for you.
Yes, yes, indeed. I will go get my violin.
Oh, that's a splendid idea. And while you play, Svengali, I'll try my hand at some more sketches of that marvelous head of yours.
You've been making sketches of Svengali? Well, whatever for?
For a portrait in oils that will turn those old fogies in the Royal Academy green with envy.
I will expect my usual fee for posing.
Well, hang it all. I'm not asking you to pose this time. I merely want to sketch you as you play the piano.
Nevertheless, I insist upon being paid my usual fee, principally to keep from disillusioning Taffy and the Laird about members of my religion.
I'll pay his blasted modelling fee. Here.
Thank you, Taffy.
Now get on with it. Give us music.
I play this especially for Mademoiselle Trilby.
Svengali before.
We do not encourage his visits, Trilby.
I find him disturbing. His eyes.
His eyes that I find so hard to capture. It's become a challenge for me. If I can get that intensity, the depth of... Trilby, what is it?
Oh, nothing. One of my beastly headaches.
Oh, I'm so sorry, my dearest. Let me help you to the divan. Oh, fetch the brandy, Laird, would you, like a good fellow? Trilby has one of her headaches.
Right. I feel as if my head were caught in the jaws of a nutcrack.
Poor mademoiselle, perhaps I should go for a doctor.
Oh, no, no, there's no need for that, Gecko. It'll go away after a while. It always does.
Let me put this pillow under your head.
Thank you.
Here's your brandy, lass.
Oh, thank you, Laird.
Perhaps I can help.
You, Svengali? How?
If you gentlemen would move out of the way...
First, I want to know what you intend to do to her.
Would you prefer that I stood here and gave you a lengthy explanation of how I propose to cure Mademoiselle's headache? Or would you prefer that I simply cured it?
Oh, do as he asks, little Billy. He can't make it hurt any more than it already does.
Oh, get on with it then, Svengali.
But bear in mind that we'll be keeping an eye on you.
Yes, I will bear that in mind, Taffy. Now, Trilby, concentrate on my voice. Listen to my voice. I want you to relax and think only of my voice. The voice of Svengali.
Svengali.
What is he doing, Gecko?
He will ease her pain, little Billy, I promise you.
Your feet are heavy. Your legs are heavy. Very, very heavy. Your arms are heavy. Your eyelids are becoming heavy. So heavy that you cannot keep them open. Your eyes are closing. Now reach out slowly and take my hands. There. The pain is leaving your head, your neck. The pain is passing through your arms, through your fingers, and into my fingers, into my body. The pain is leaving your body and flowing into mine, into the body, into the heart of Svengali.
Svengali. Svengali.
Svengali. Svengali. Svengali. Svengali.
I'm going to put a stop to this blasted nonsense.
No, do not interrupt the maestro. Not if you value mademoiselle's life.
When I clap my hands, you will be wide awake, and you will feel wonderful. But you will not remember what has happened. Only that Svengali is your friend. Remember, Svengali is your friend.
Pain is gone.
I have it now, but I welcome it because it comes from you.
Is it true, Trilby? Has the pain really gone?
Milk below! Oh.
I owe you my thanks, Svengali.
You owe me nothing, little Billy. It was not your pain I took upon myself.
I feel absolutely wonderful.
How did you do it, Svengali?
It is a gift, like any other.
But what kind of gift?
I think I know.
Well, then tell us, lad. It's obvious Svengali isn't going to.
He mesmerized her. Oh. That's what it is. Mesmerism. I've often heard of it, but never seen it done before. They get you into their power and just make you do any blessed thing they please. Lie, murder, steal, anything. And kill yourself into the bargain when they've done with you.
Oh, lad, not another of your Highland folk tales.
Well, I don't care how he did it. He stopped the pain. Signor Svengali, how can I possibly repay you?
Every time you have pain, you shall come to me. Number 12, Rutiliar, and I will cure you and take your pain to myself. And now Gecko and I must go to work.
Work?
Yes, maestro.
On Christmas Day?
Tomorrow the passers-by will not be so generous to street musicians like Gecko and myself.
True.
They will be suffering from indigestion and counting their debts.
And I'd better be going too.
Oh, must you leave us, Trilby?
Well, I'm afraid I must, Taffy, dear. Little Jeannot still isn't feeling well. The Martins have had him on their hands all day. I must go home.
Then the lad and I will walk home with you.
Aye, that we will.
That you won't. I'm going to walk Trilby home, and I need no assistance from you two gentlemen. Come, my dear.
But why are we following them, Signor?
Because I wish it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Quiet, Gecko.
Such a strange man, Signor Svengali. I've never met anyone quite like him.
I know. That's why I want to paint him, and why I've made such a botch of it so far. But you mustn't trust him, Trilby.
Trust him? In what way?
All that business curing your headache.
Oh, dearest little Billy, you keep forgetting that I'm not an innocent English schoolgirl.
I know, but...
I grew up in the streets of Paris. I'm perfectly capable of defending what you would call my honour, even against Signor Svengali.
It's nothing to joke about, Trilby.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you angry.
No, I'm not angry. It's just that I wish you wouldn't talk like that. No, I know you think I'm a prude.
I think that you're very, very sweet, little boy. And I love you.
Oh, Trilby. I wish that you didn't have to pose for Durienne and the others. I can't bear the thought of them looking at your body.
I'll never understand why that should upset you.
I know. You could have ridden through Coventry like Lady Godiva without giving it a thought beyond wondering why the streets were empty. Trilby, say that you'll marry me.
But we're happy just as we are.
Happy? I'll never be happy until you become my wife.
But it's impossible. You know that as well as I do.
Because of my family? I don't need any family except you.
What about little Jeannot?
Now, I treat him as if he were my own son. You know that.
Oh, little Billy. I don't know what to say anymore. You keep asking me the same question, and I keep saying no.
Trilby, if you don't say you'll marry me, say it right here and now. I'll leave Paris and never see you again. I'd rather lose you entirely than go on living like this, having you and at the same time not having you, sharing you.
You don't share me with anyone.
Oh, yes, I do. I share you with Durien and with Taffy and the Laird.
Oh, Durien isn't in the least interested in any woman, except as a beautiful object. And as for Taffy and the Laird, neither of them ever so much as kissed me, except on the hand.
No. You've misunderstood me completely. I'm not talking about sharing your body. I'm talking about sharing you.
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
No, it doesn't matter. What matters is you've got to choose. Will you marry me, or will I go away and never see you again?
It might be best for you if you went away.
Then you'd sentence me to death.
To death?
If you don't marry me, I'll kill myself.
But you can't mean that, little Billy.
I do. I swear I do.
And God help me. The answer's yes. I'll marry you.
Oh, Trilby. Do you hear that, Paris? Do you hear that, Napoleon III? She's mine. She's mine. She's mine.
Oh, no. Now she is mine. She belongs to Svengali.
Laird! Little Billy! I've sold the picture! The one with the rag pickers mucking about in a dust heap.
Realism. None of your guitar-playing toreadors, Laird.
What?
Nobody at home to congratulate me? Then I'll congratulate myself. Well done, Taffy, me lad. A toast to success. Entree?
Oh.
I beg your pardon, sir, and yours, madam. I assumed you to be one of our friends. Well, heaven knows they don't usually bother to knock.
From the sketches William has sent me, I presume you are Taffy Wynne.
The very same. At your service, madam.
I am William's mother, Mrs. Baggett.
William? Oh, you mean little Billy. Come in, Mrs. Baggett. Come in. This is a surprise.
And this gentleman is my brother-in-law, William's uncle. The Reverend Thomas Baggett.
How do you do, sir?
Your servant, sir. So, this is how William lives.
Well, I suppose it does look a little bohemian. Won't you sit down, please?
Thank you, but I think we would prefer to stand.
Are you sure? I can take the fencing foils and boxing gloves off the divan.
Mr. Wynne, I'll come directly to the point. We received a telegram in England informing us that on Christmas Day, my son engaged himself to be married.
To a common harlot.
Sir, if you weren't a man of the cloth, I'd be obliged to tweak your nose for that. Trilby O'Farrell is one of the sweetest, gentlest, most truly innocent women I've ever known.
Oh, come, Mr. Wynne.
That's enough, Thomas. It's obvious that you know the lady, Mr. Wynne, and have been favorably impressed by her. Yet you would concede, would you not, that she is in quite a different position of life from my son?
You said that you'd received a telegram. May I ask who sent it?
That is neither here nor there, Mr. Wynne.
Mr. Wynne, you say that this young person is one of the sweetest, gentlest, and most truly innocent women you have ever known.
Oh, she is indeed.
Is she Catholic or Protestant?
Upon my word, I don't know.
You claim to know her well, and you don't know that.
Hush, Thomas. Would you call her a lady, Mr. Wynne?
A lady? Well, so much depends upon one's definition of the term. Her father was a gentleman, a fellow of Trinity College, and a clergyman, if that means anything.
Sir!
And her mother?
She was, I believe, of a lesser rank.
And the young person herself? What is she?
Mrs. Baggett, it seems to me that these are matters that you had better discuss with your son.
I'll ask you only one more question. Is this Trilby O'Farrell a model for the figure?
Well, yes.
Oh, Mr. Wynne, if only you knew what my son is to me, to all of us, always has been. He has been with us all his life till he came to this wicked, accursed city. My son was as innocent and pure-minded as any girl. I could have trusted him anywhere. And that is why I allowed him to come here of all places in the world. Oh, what a fool I've been.
Hush, hush, my dear. Do not upset yourself.
Milk below!
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Taffy, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had visitors. I'll come back later.
Yes, later.
Just a moment, young woman. I take it that you are Miss Trilby O'Farrell?
Yes.
I am William's mother.
And I am his uncle.
Dear.
Is that all you have to say for yourself?
Parson or no parson, I'll not allow you to bully Trilby. This is my studio, at least one third of it's mine, and you are here as my guest. I would ask you to remember that, sir.
I don't see that the matter concerns you in the least, Mr. Wynne.
You have made it concern me, parson. You may go if you wish, Trilby.
Thank you, dear Taffy. But what good would that do? I may as well face up to it one time as another.
I can see that you are a sensible young woman as well as a very beautiful one. Is it true that you wish to marry my son?
I refused him 19 times, Mrs. Baggett, for his own sake. He will tell you so himself. I'm not the right person for him to marry, I know that. On Christmas Day, he said he would leave Paris forever if I refused him again. I hadn't the courage. I was weak, you see. So I said yes.
Are you fond of him?
Fond of him? Are you fond of him?
She's his mother, my girl. Of course she's fond of him.
Mrs. Baggett, I love little Billy.
I was afraid that you might. It would make matters so much simpler if you did not.
In what way?
If you were merely an adventuress, I could simply buy him back from you.
Mrs. Baggett!
It's all right, Taffy.
Thank you, young lady. If you were merely fond of him, I could appeal to your common sense. You know enough of the world to realize that there are 100 reasons why such a marriage could not possibly work.
More than 100. I've gone over them in my mind again and again. I've listed them to little Billy.
I'm sure that you have, if you truly love him.
I swear I do.
It's your love that frightens me. It may be that you love him enough not to be able to give him up, and not enough to let him go.
I'm not sure I understand you.
My dear, what you don't understand is that the 100 practical reasons why you ought not to marry my son are not the important ones.
Not?
My son could go on living without his family and his friends in England. He could even go on living with the knowledge that he could never hope to be admitted to the Royal Academy, provided he had his Trilby.
He would always have me. Always.
He would always have you, perhaps. But would he always have his Trilby?
You're talking in riddles, Mrs. Baggett.
Pray let the young lady hear me out, Mr. Wynne. Oh, my dear, I have no wish to be cruel. But you must surely realize that he won't always have his Trilby. A time will come, and you will be astonished how quickly it will be in coming, when your beauty will begin to fade.
You don't have to tell me that, Mrs. Baggett.
Oh, but I do. One day there will be wrinkles to mar the corners of those lovely eyes, and the eyes themselves will lose their sparkle. You will no longer seem to dance when you walk. The frost will have its way with your hair. You will be middle-aged, and then you will be old.
Mrs. Baggett, I fail to see what this has to do with little Billy's love for Trilby.
Love? There's a better name for it. Lust.
It has everything to do with little Billy's love for Trilby, as you will see if you will allow me to finish.
So you think little Billy loves me solely because of my beauty, Mrs. Baggett?
No, no. It is not so simple as that. But when those wrinkles do begin to appear, he will notice things that he has never noticed before. Your taste in clothes, for example, will no longer strike him as delightfully quaint. It will merely seem eccentric. What he now perhaps calls innocence, he will then think of as ignorance. He will find your table manners irritating. Do you see?
I could learn to behave like a lady.
I have no doubt that you could. But then you wouldn't be Trilby. Not his Trilby. You would merely be someone who had learned to behave like a lady. The best you could hope for then would be his pity.
And after pity, there would come guilt.
I see that you understand me.
I think I've understood that all the time. You've merely put it into words for me. You're right. It's impossible. I cannot marry your son.
The girl is showing some sense at last.
But what will he do if I don't marry him?
What do you mean, what will he do if you don't marry him?
He's made the most horrible threats.
To throw himself into the Seine if you don't become his bride.
Good Lord.
How did you know?
My son is a very romantic young man, Miss O'Farrell.
Then you don't think he meant it?
I am positive that he meant it. I am equally certain that he will never do it.
Perhaps you don't know your son as well as you think, Mrs. Baggett.
I know my son very well indeed.
Then you have my word. I will not marry little Billy, I promise you. I will never see him again.
Trilby!
I will leave Paris as soon as my little brother is well enough to travel. In the meantime, I'll stay with friends that little Billy does not know. Don't worry. You will not find me, I promise you that. Goodbye, Mrs. Baggett.
Trilby! Where is she? What's become of her? She's run away.
Sit down, little Billy. Sit down.
This afternoon, as I came in, there was a letter downstairs from her. Oh, such a letter. Apparently, my mother is in Paris. She's been meddling. And that cursed old ass, that beast, my uncle. They've been here. I know all about it. I went straight to the Martin's house, but she had left and they wouldn't tell me where she'd gone. Gernot is ill. Oh, he shouldn't be travelling. I've searched everywhere, everywhere. No one will tell me where she is.
Sit down, man. You look dreadful.
Taffy, why didn't you stick up for her?
I did, as well as I could.
You probably agreed with my mother that she oughtn't to marry me. Why? She's an angel. She's far too good for the likes of me. You know she is. As for her social position and all that, what degrading rot. Her father was as much a gentleman as mine. Besides, what do I care for her father? It's her I want. Her. I tell you, I can't live without her. I can't.
Lad, fetch a doctor. The boy's beside himself.
Well, I say one
thing
and
his mother and
another.
His uncle from the hotel
love
as well.
Love comes before all.
This is more mere
fancy.
That boy
love,
is unhinged.
Beauty and art. Before such beauty, rank doesn't exist. Oh, it makes me sick. It makes me sick. It makes me sick.
There, I have finished packing, Maestro.
Good, Gecko. It only remains to be seen if we can get out without being observed by Madame La Corsière.
Then you still plan to leave tonight?
I see no reason to wait any longer.
But didn't you say before...
I know very well what I said, Gecko. But even Svengali can be mistaken. But perhaps this time I was not mistaken after all. So, you've come to me at last. I expected you weeks ago. Come in.
Gernot is dead.
Your little boy. Oh, I'm so sorry, mademoiselle.
It was scarlet fever. After the funeral, I went down to the Seine. I was going to jump. Then I thought of how afterwards they'd drag me out and put me in the morgue. I couldn't stand the thought of that, being put in the morgue.
I know. You must rest now.
If only I could.
Sit down, Trilby.
Gecko, the footstool.
Immediately, maestro. There you are, mademoiselle.
My head hurts. You said I was to come to you and my head hurt. And I'm so tired. So very tired.
Lie back now, Liebchen. Look into my eyes. Good. Good. Take my hand. Now let all your weariness and grief and hurt flow out of you and into me, to Svengali.
Svengali, Svengali, Svengali.
Now close your eyes. You are very sleepy.
Very sleepy.
You will sleep until Svengali claps his hands, like so. And when you wake up, you will feel very, very happy.
Very, very happy.
Yes?
Sometimes I think I used to dream about you when I was a little girl.
Tell me about your dream.
I used to dream that I was flying. And then, all of a sudden, I couldn't fly anymore. I didn't know how. And I fell. I kept falling until somebody caught me ever so gently in his hands. He put his palms together like a nest. I felt so safe then. So safe and warm.
And where does Svengali come into this dream of yours?
It was your hands that caught me.
Go to sleep, Liebchen. Wer reitet so spät durch Nacht und Wind? Es ist der Vater mit seinem Kind. Er hält den Knaben wohl in dem Arm. Er fasst ihn sicher. Er hält ihn warm. You see, Gecko, she came to me, as I told you she would.
She did indeed, maestro.
First, I will bring her back to health, and then the lessons will begin.
Yes, but it will be very difficult, maestro. She has no ear for music.
She has no ear, but she has a voice. A voice such as has never been heard before. I knew that the moment I first heard her sing. She is tone deaf, Gecko. She cannot tell one note from another, but we will teach her, you and I.
Yes, maestro.
It will take months, maybe years. We will teach her note by note. I with my flageolet, my little penny whistle, and you with your violin. We will teach her the sounds and then how to use them, each one more beautiful than the one before. At last, I will sing. Through her, I will have the most beautiful voice the world has ever heard. Now, sing.
No.
Again.
No.
No. No, no, no.
Get her. Better.
Never end?
No. We go on until you are not perfect.
Maestro, you must rest. It takes so much out of you.
No, not until she is perfect. Sing, Trilby, sing. Do it.
But it wasn't really me singing, was it?
Look into my eyes. Deep. Deep into my eyes.
Yes.
Tell me who you are.
I am Trilby.
No. We are Svengali. Time, at last, to put her before an audience, Gecko.
If I could leap into the air and fly.
You may not be tired, Liebchen, but I am very tired. Very tired indeed.
Another person, as if I were you.
It is us, you and I. La Svengali.
Maestro, what is wrong?
Oh. It is nothing.
Is it your heart?
It's nothing, I tell you.
It's the singing, isn't it?
Yes. It takes so much. Out of me.
I can't let you go and do this, Gorny.
Foolish child. I don't do it for you. I do it for Svengali.
You will kill yourself, Maestro.
That is my concern, not yours. Go and greet your public. La Svengali. Look at her.
radiant.
But you, Svengali, look at you. These months and months of work have exhausted you.
We go on.
But Trilby would not mind if she never sang again.
Trilby O'Farrell would not care, perhaps. But she is no longer simply Trilby O'Farrell. Now she is La Svengali. And La Svengali would die if she could not sing. Svengali's feet. They will look at her, of course, not at me. Their eyes will be so focused on her that I will be all but invisible, a shadow to enhance her radiance. They will not know that she and I are one, wedded to each other, as no mere lovers could ever be. Sing, La Svengali. Sing.
Tell you how good it is to be with the two of you again. It's as if I'd been carried 5 years into the past, and we were still the three musketeers of the Place Saint-Anatole des Arts in Paris.
Except that you, little Billy, are now the toast of London. Well, we've been to the Royal Academy to see your pictures. Fine, very fine.
It seems a long way from Little Billy of the Latin Quarter to William Baggett of the Royal Academy.
Well, the pictures are signed William Baggett, Taffy, but it is still Little Billy who signs them.
And how, then, is Little Billy?
Better. Much better. The healing has taken a long time, Taffy. After my mother and my uncle brought me home from Paris, I was not myself for many months.
We wrote to you.
I know, my friends, and I'm sorry I didn't reply. But I had neither the energy nor the will to take an interest in anything. For a time, I even stopped painting. I would have been a poor companion if you'd seen me then.
But now you say you are yourself again?
I am better. I'm painting. And I am flattered by the fame my painting brings me, by being invited to all the great houses of London, or to receptions such as this.
And kindly bringing your two old friends with you.
And is the little Billy we used to know and love still there under the smart new exterior of William Baggett?
No. Oh, it's difficult to explain, Taffy. I do not enjoy life quite as I used. As I say, I'm flattered by my success. But in all honesty, it means very little to me. For some reason, people mean very little to me. I find it hard to care for anything or anyone.
That indeed is a change in the little Billy we used to know.
I wish it were not so. But nonetheless, I'm so very pleased to see the two of you. So happy you bothered to seek me out here in London.
Well, that was not a difficult thing to do.
You must tell me what has happened to you both in the past 5 years. Do you still both paint?
Yes. Not with the success you have achieved, but we managed to sell our paintings and live comfortably.
Where have you been all this time? In Paris?
No. The studio didn't seem quite the same after you left, so Taffy and I took up our easels, as it were, and travelled.
I to Antwerp.
And I, at last, to Spain.
We met up again in Algiers, then spent a year in Munich, and then a year in Dusseldorf, and a winter in Cairo.
Have you been back to Paris?
Yes, we've just come from Paris.
And how is everyone?
Did you see all our old friends?
We saw Dodo and Zuzu.
Zuzu? Oh, the corporal in the Zouave who kept getting drunk and being demoted.
Oh, now is Monsieur le Duc de la Rochematelle Boisségur?
Yeah, little Billy isn't interested in Zuzu and his title, Ed. He wants to know if we've heard anything about Trilby. Isn't that so, little Billy?
Yes.
We went to her old pension on the Rue de Puy d'Amour. The Martins are still there. They told us that Trilby's little brother, Jeannot, died shortly after you left Paris. Scarlet fever.
Oh, poor little boy. He was very sweet and she was so fond of him.
And after his death, she disappeared completely. No one knows where she is or what has become of her.
For the first few months after my mother brought me back to England, I kept seeing Trilby's ghost.
A ghost? You don't know that she's dead.
Haven't you ever seen a ghost of someone who is still alive? I'd see a girl at a party, and just for a moment she would be Trilby. Or I'd see a pretty girl driving past my mother's house, and I'd almost cry out, Trilby, stop, wait for me. Yes.
Everyone loved Trilby. You couldn't help yourself. Even Svengali.
Svengali?
Excuse me, but did I hear you mention the name Svengali? Forgive me. Allow me to introduce myself.
Oh, Signor Glorioli, you of all people have no need to introduce yourself. I'm one of your most devoted admirers, sir. Whenever you sing in this country, I am always among your audience.
You are too kind. But tell me, please, what do you know of La Svengali?
Why, only that 5 years ago in Paris, he was a street musician, a teacher. I'm amazed that you've even heard of him.
Oh, it is obvious that we are talking about two different Svengalis. I had in mind a woman. A woman who may well be the greatest singer in Europe.
Better than the great Adelina Patti.
La Svengali's voice is to that of Adelina Patti, as a peach is to an apple. You, young man, have been most complimentary about my singing.
Oh, there's no voice like yours anywhere in the world.
Let me tell you something. I believe that once every century, two human nightingales are born. Only two. A male and a female. I do not believe in a false modesty. I will say to you that I am that male nightingale. And I believe the female, my vocal mate, as it were, is La Svengali. I have heard her sing only once at St. Petersburg, at the Winter Palace. But it was enough.
Astonishing. Did you speak to her?
Alas, no. There were too many grand dukes and duchesses ahead of me. Diamond tiaras were being laid at her feet, strings of pearls, brooches of rubies, emeralds. I was obliged to converse with her conductor, a tall, bony brute of a Hebrew with a black beard, and the eyes of the devil himself.
What?
That stare. I found myself making the sign. The thumb between the fingers, like so. The sign that the people of my country make in the presence of the evil eye.
Good Lord. That sounds like a description of the Svengali we knew.
It is not impossible. He would have the same name as the singer. He is her husband, as well as her accompanist and conductor.
Her husband?
That is what I was told. And he guards her jealously. He will allow no one more than a few words with her, and then never alone.
Svengali married? What kind of a woman would allow that evil blackguard to touch her?
For the past 2 years, she has been touring Europe. Everywhere she goes, the world is at her feet. And at last, she comes here to London when I am also here. Once again, I may hear that magical voice.
And I, too, Signor Glorioli. Married to that filthy Jew or not, I feel I must hear La Svengali sing. I simply must.
As though I'd come home at last.
Everything that you see from this hotel window belongs to you.
Only because of you, Maestro.
You are so beautiful.
like one of the imaginary women I created as a love-starved boy.
Except that I am real.
Are you, Trilby? Or have I created you, too? Another fantasy. Except that I am no longer a boy, but an old man.
You're not old.
I was old, even when I was a child. Do you see those young men down there in the street below us? With their empty heads and handsome faces. Each of them with a young woman on his arm, off to some silly entertainment. Sometimes I would give all of my talent to be one of them, just for a short while.
You need never envy anyone. You are Svengali, and I want to be with you always.
And yet, you could leave me now, if you wished.
Leave you? What do you mean?
You may go away. Go wherever you please. And take the money. It would make a handsome dowry.
Have I done something wrong?
Oh, no. It's not that.
Then why do you wish me to leave?
I have opened the door of the cage, Liebchen. You had better fly away while you have the chance. I may not open it again.
I don't want to fly away. I want to be with you.
I wish I could be sure that you were saying that of your own free will, and not simply because it is what I want you to say.
Oh, you couldn't make me say anything I didn't want to say.
Oh, but I could, my dear.
But I love you.
My manufactured love.
But I...
Oh, don't say it. Don't say it. It is only Svengali talking to himself again. Enough of this nonsense. Gecko.
Yes, maestro.
We must rehearse for our concert tomorrow night.
I am ready, maestro.
And you, Liebchen, are you ready?
Yes.
Tomorrow, we must sing as we have never sung before. We will bring Il Belcanto back to earth after 100 years. The bel canto of Vivarelli, who sang the same song every night for the King of Spain for a quarter of a century, and was rewarded with a dukedom and wealth beyond the dreams of avarice. It was lost, Il Bel Canto, until I found it in a dream. I, Svengali. Tomorrow they will hear nothing, think of nothing, feel nothing, but the glory of our voice. No, 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 you sound like a crow mourning for its mate.
Oh, please, maestro.
Hold your tongue, Gecko.
I'll try again, maestro.
Yes, and again, and again, and again, until you get it right. Now, sing.
Yes, maestro.
No, 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 1,000 times no. What's wrong with you? Have you forgotten everything I've ever taught you?
I'm sorry, maestro. I'm trying very hard.
Stop trying. Leave that to me. Look into my eyes. Into my eyes. That's right. Now, sing. No, 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 damn you!
No, maestro.
Are you making fun of me? Is that it? Are you making fun of Svengali?
No, no, I swear it, maestro.
In the name of God, maestro!
Or is it laziness?
No more, maestro!
Stop
please.
It, maestro!
Victor, hands off me, gecko!
Svengali!
Maestro, are you all right? Can you hear me, maestro?
I'll fetch a doctor.
Yes, quickly. Maestro, it's me. It's Gecko.
Gecko.
Oh, forgive me, maestro. Forgive me. I couldn't let you go on beating mademoiselle.
Stop whining, Gecko. Help me to chair.
Oh, maestro, you're working yourself to death.
Perhaps.
You have money now. You could buy a villa somewhere in the sun. You could be...
Now, do you think money means anything to me? I am an artist. I am Svengali.
No, please, maestro. Don't excite yourself.
Oh, if I could hear, actually hear, the song that I have been singing in my mind all my life, I would give my life in exchange and call it a bargain.
But what of mademoiselle?
God help me. I would even give hers.
No, maestro.
Yes, Gecko. You're a fine artist, but you will never be a great one. Great art requires that when faced with a choice, you be prepared to sacrifice that which you love most. I love my life, and I love Trilby in my life. But I have been entrusted with a gift. I have an obligation to share that gift with the world. The world must hear my voice.
Mademoiselle's voice?
No. No, she is the instrument, but I am the singer and the song. It is not my choice, Gecko. I did not choose the color of my eyes. That is given. So is my gift. It is what one does with that gift that determines where you are placed on the divine list. Tonight, the name of Svengali will be placed at the very top of that list.
Maestro, I don't understand, but I fear what will happen.
I know. I live in fear also. But the sound must be heard. It will be heard tonight. Stay near Mademoiselle Gecko. She will need you.
I will never leave her, maestro.
Good. Now I must rest. Tonight I will climb the mountain and rest at last at the summit.
Little Billy, it's me, Taffy, with the lad.
Oh, no, just when this painting was starting to come together. You two had better have a jolly good reason for bursting in.
Look at this.
You interrupt me at work to show me a photograph.
Do as the lad says, my dear fellow. Look at it.
A photograph of a woman who seems to be posing as the Venus de Milo, except that she still has her arms. Is this some sort of a joke?
Look again, closely.
What? She's the very image of Trilby O'Farrell.
She is Trilby.
Impossible. But yes... It could be her.
That's how Trilby, just as sure as there are ghosts in Scotland.
Where did you get this?
They're in shop windows all over London.
Shop windows? Why?
That, laddie, is a portrait of La Svengali.
The singer Glorioli told us about. How could that be?
Don't you see? La Svengali and Trilby must be one and the same person.
Impossible. Trilby couldn't tell Pop Goes the Weasel from God Save the Queen. You both know that.
Impossible or not, she's going to sing at the Drury Lane Theatre tonight.
Me with my big sombrero and Havana cigar.
I hope I don't disappoint you tonight.
When you are on stage, remember as always to keep your eyes on Svengali.
Yes. Look, there on the corner. It's little Billy.
Yes, it is.
Oh, he's seen us. There's such a strange expression on his face.
Stare past him, ignore him.
Yes, maestro. I once thought that I was in love with someone called Little Billy. It seems so long ago now. Another world.
I don't believe it can be Trilby, Taffy. Not after the way she just cut me.
Well, she certainly doesn't look like the Trilby we used to know. Sitting in that carriage surrounded by all those furs.
Hey, it's not just the furs, Taffy. The face is different. The Trilby's used to be so full of life and sparkle. And that looked like the face of a painted doll.
But there's no doubt about the man. That was Svengali, right enough. You only had to look at the eyes. There couldn't be two men in the world with eyes like that.
Enter.
Mademoiselle, maestro, it is time to begin.
Thank you, Gecko. Shall we go?
Just a moment. Gecko, tonight you will conduct, and I will sit in a box by the stage.
So, maestro...
I will only be a matter of feet away from you, my dear. Gecko, you know the music.
Yes, of course.
But I can't...
Shh, Liebchen. I'm just a little tired. Let Gecko stand in my stead.
But I cannot sing without you, Svengali.
You won't have to. Never let your eyes leave mine. I will speak to you from the box. And you will sing as you have never sung before.
She comes, little Billy. It is Trilby. It is. There's no doubt of that.
Looking more beautiful than ever.
She walks with such light steps, she seems to float across the stage on air. Oh, Trilby. Trilby.
Look, lads. In that box.
Good Lord. Svengali. Look at his face. His eyes. He's like a man possessed.
He's talking to her. He's talking to Trilby.
Take your eyes off me. Tonight we sing for the gods.
Thank you.
God must have felt when he gave form to the formless and breathed life into dust. That at last is worthy of my life. And may God grant me in death what I could not have in life.
When she used to sing Ben Bolt so atrociously.
I don't know what to think, Taffy. I only know I love her, that I've loved her all these years, and that I will always love her.
Why doesn't she sing?
Why is she just standing there?
The lass looks to be ill.
Sing! Be quiet!
Don't you tell me to be quiet!
Sing! Please, mademoiselle.
Oh. What am I doing here?
You must sing.
I can't.
Oh, you must.
You want me to sing? Very well. Oh, don't you remember?
Maestro, help us!
Svengali! Svengali!
I'm going to put a stop to this.
Where do you think you're going?
Oh, get out of my way.
Gecko, lower the curtains.
Trilby, it's little Billy. Let me help you to your dressing room.
Little Billy? Why are you wearing that black suit? You look so funny in it.
Poor mademoiselle. She is empty now.
Empty? What do you mean, Gecko?
Svengali is dead.
Thank you. Thank you, Gecko. That was beautiful.
Yes, but it did not improve your appetite. You must eat. Ah, Mrs. Baggot.
Trilby, you naughty girl. You haven't touched your breakfast. In a month you haven't eaten enough to keep a bird alive. I'm sorry. Let me straighten your pillows. You've been very good to me, Mrs. Baggot. But I mustn't go on imposing upon your hospitality. I've been a guest in your home for far too long.
You and Gecko will stay with us until you are well.
We don't have to pretend to each other, do we, Mrs. Baggot? I know perfectly well that I'm going to die.
No, 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 my dear.
Don't say such things, Trilby.
But I'm not afraid of dying. I've seen lots of people do it. They none of them seem to mind. Not at the end. Little Jeannot didn't seem to mind a bit.
That's right. Sleep, my dear. You'll keep an eye on her, Gecko.
Forever, madame.
You are a good man.
How is she today, mother?
Much the same as she's been for the past month, except perhaps a little weaker.
Well, tomorrow I'll have another doctor look at her.
She's already been examined by the best doctors in Harley Street.
Quacks. A lot of them. If they weren't quacks, they'd find out what's wrong with her.
You'll become ill, too, if you don't stop working so hard, William. I've never known you to spend so much time in your studio.
I've never felt such a compulsion to work on a painting before. This will be either the best or the worst picture I've ever done. And somehow I've got to keep at it. I've got to finish it. And as soon as I humanly can. There. It's finished. Except for the eyes. I see them so clearly, and yet... Yes. Yes. That's it. At last, at last. What? Trilby, what are you doing out of bed?
Came to see him, little Billy.
There's nobody here except me, Trilby. Let me carry you back to your room.
No. There he is.
My portrait of Svengali? How did you know I was painting it? I didn't tell anyone.
Svengali.
Svengali. Are you all right, Trilby? Svengali. Sit down in this chair. Mother! Mother, Trilby's here. We've got to get her back to bed.
Trilby?
Your eyes.
Trilby. Can you hear me?
Always on me. Always on Svengali.
God in heaven.
Trilby!
No use, Mother. She can't hear you.
It's the portrait you did of that horrible man.
No, Mother. It's something more than that. Something far more than that.
But aren't you really trying to find Trebizond?
It depends what you mean by Trebizond.
What do you mean?
I suppose it would be we haven't got there, of course, at all.
Trilby!
Water!
No, Mother. It's too late. She's dead.
She can't be. A moment ago she was singing like nobody I've ever heard. We must fetch a doctor.
No doctor can help her now, Mother. She's gone back to him.
What do you mean?
You must have heard him calling to her.
Who?
Look at him, Mother. See how he smiles at us?
You don't know what you're saying, William.
Oh, but I do. There was a time she might have been mine.
But I lost her to another man, another artist, a greater artist than I could ever be. He made her a queen among queens. No, a goddess. For what was any earthly throne compared to that she established in the hearts and souls of all who came within sight and hearing of her? He taught her and trained her and revealed her to the world. He was the artist. He made her sing. He made me paint this portrait. I was merely another instrument to be played by
Svengali.
In La Svengali, a play for radio by Alden Nolan and Walter Learning, from the novel Trilby by George Du Maurier, John Colicos was Svengali, Elaine Crossley, Trilby, Saul Rubinek, Gecko, and Jeremy Henson, Little Billy. Mrs. Baggett was played by Nonnie Griffin, Parson Baggett by Jilly Fenwick, Taffy by Raymond Clark, The Laird by Graham Haley, and Glorioli by Ronnie D'Souza. The music was composed and arranged by Lucio Agostini, and the part of Trilby was sung by Kathy Pimenoff. La Svengali was directed by Glyn Dearman.